taking over and capture a job. But the captain should have made up his mind ready to attack. In other words, what a doctor does not do and what things need doing, it will ask or even form, for example, whether it's a commission or whatever form it takes, to not merely study. That, by the way, is a dodge. But implement and carry out something in chapter desire. Having said that, I think collegiality is taken care of because there's nothing more collegial than chapter. How were you? Were you chosen? Can I put what? More collegial than you get. Thank you. Even democratic. Some of our sisters have taken a passive attitude towards our community and its structures, or its activities. How can we create a more active attitude among our sisters so our community will become more unified in spirit? Now, this is a large question. Well, I would say from two sides. First of all, I'm sure you have some means of communication among your sisters already in the community, correct? Well, this is St. Ignatius talking to the Jesuits way back in the 16th century. Communication among the members of the Society of Jesus, he says, is one of the principal ways of maintaining the spirit intact. That's in the 16th century, before Marshall McLuhan. So communication among the members. So they know what's happening. Now here I touch on a delicate thing. You know, there are communications and communications. I've seen newsletters and community, whatever you want to call it, monthlies or what do you call yours? You have a name? Newsletter. And some of them at least are so generic and, well, you might say, not irrelevant, but they don't really say much. That you don't really get the taste or the flavor of what's really happening. Now, one reason, well, there may be many reasons, but one reason I think is that often they're not put in newsletters for fear of becoming property outside the community. You think that's true? Now, sisters, this is very important. It's very precious. And ultimately, it depends on each sister. But there must be some sanctions here. What I mean is, sisters must be, first of all, trusted, but then they also must be entrusted with things about the community, which then it is assumed, and it needs to be pounded into their heads, this is not for communication outside the community. For your information, the Jesuits have it. And we distinguish among our publications, that is, communications among Jesuits, as we publish other things for general consumption, but among communications published by Jesuits for Jesuits, there are many things that come out without this label on it. And those may be shared with others. There are others which have this label. And I'm not sure, but I think it's 400 years old. In Latin, it is, ad usum nostrorum tantum. For the use of powers, and we always capitalize ourselves, part of our arrogance. For the use of powers only. sisters, I can tell you, we respect it. I wouldn't dare share this with anyone else, and when I sometimes think it would be good to share, I contact my provincial and get clearance from him. Is this good to hear? See, otherwise, you know, what do you have in common, which everybody else doesn't have? The second thing is involvement of members of the community. Now, this is a large question, and I'm sure you've been thinking and praying about it. One of the best ways, in fact, an indispensable way, of having a person sense that he belongs and being active and all the rest, is that a person is somehow asked to do something. It may be little, but it must be crucial. And a person must consider his or her part in this important. Commonly sponsored enterprises or activities. And if necessary, create some. For example, to illustrate, you are not in education as such, are you?
No.
Except maybe nursing education, are you in that? But what educational community? By the way, there are a couple more. Can I still have extra time?
Yes.
What time is my deadline?
No,
it isn't.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, this to illustrate what I'm talking about. You know, it took me 2 years to convince the community they ought to do this. I was just trying to help. They've got very fine teachers, I guess, nationally probably staff. 300 or 400 schools, which is a lot of Catholic schools today. But, as you know, there is a great human cry about textbooks in Catholic schools. Textbooks of religion, you've heard about this. There are no kinds of complaints about it. The children are learning these things. And much of it is true, because a lot of the religion texts are goo. That's my theological word for it. Or no, the non-theological term, junk. At any rate, there's a market. Thousands of, maybe even millions of Catholic parents would be thrilled to the hold of their children are learning from textbooks that, you know, teach the commandments and the sacraments, you know, three persons in one God, and two natures in Christ, and seven sacraments, and things like that. Not, of course, rote memory. I mean, that's passé. But teach the faith. So, I contacted our Loyola University Press, as it's noticed, our Loyola University Press, and they had no trouble being sold. I know the publisher said, "Johnny, if you can find any community, now remember, we got to make sure this thing is going to really come out. It's got to be good." And he defied me to find such a community in the United States. His name is Father Amherst. He was young. I'll find him. So I found the community, but they were not ready to move. "Oh, Father, we've never done this before." I said, "Mother." I never talked to my own mother this way, and I feel kind of heated doing it to her. Anyhow, I do it for the sake of courtesy. I said, "Mother, look, so you do sacrifice some teachers for a couple of years to work on this series of religious textbooks. But think of the benefit to your sisters. If they work on this thing cooperatively, and you can plug in on every teacher on every grade teaching religion, they'll be asked to contribute to this. Look what it will do to your community, for your community. Strengthen the community spirit." Father, I just, you're sure? So, finally, I did convince her. And the press, there were many meetings between them and the publisher. And finally, they signed a contract. And the publisher is willing to invest $400,000 in the series. They're so thrilled over the prospect. The first 3 years, first, second, and third grade are coming out this winter. and along with the teacher, current teacher's manual. A last word in pedagogy, fine psychological approach, and capital. Well, I've been told since by the sisters, this is the best thing that's happened in their religious life. They're working together. See what I'm saying? Now, if you can, it will take imagination and effort, something that will involve as many as possible of your sisters working together on an enterprise for which your community is finally responsible. Okay? Could you enlarge covert poverty and fraternal sharing? Individuals have different needs. That's true. Let me first distinguish between two kinds of poverty. You see, I couldn't say everything in three conferences. You know what I've done? I've taught a whole semester on the theology of vocation. So regarding poverty, among other divisions, one very important distinction that should be made is between individual and institutional poverty. Both poverties, by the way, are to be observed by religious. How do they differ? Well, the institution, depending on the nature of your community and what your statutes have and so on, for example, may own property. You own your own institution. At least all of them, or most of them, all of them. The equipment and the facilities have to be in order to compete with others of the type that people will want to use what you've got, correct? So that walking into one of your hospitals, is it St. Francis that you have here? Well, I haven't been there yet. What did I say? Yet. But I'm sure a priori that when I would walk in there, my first impression would not be of the last word in Franciscan poverty. Am I correct? Whatever you understand by the last word of Franciscan poverty. But let's talk about both poverties for a moment. On the level of institutional poverty, which for you is a must, am I correct? As Franciscans? As for us, obedience is a must. On the level of institutional poverty, the guide is that level of poverty, this is the institution, that level of poverty which is necessary or even useful to achieve the purpose for which the institution was established. Does that make sense? But notice it has a control, doesn't it? The control is the finality or the purpose of the institution. However, saying that, on the level of institution, we must distinguish, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish, at least concretely, between the institution as, say, a hospital, and the institution as the place and the situation where the villagers live. Now, this is not a recommendation system. This is a mandate from the church. The image of poverty that you get as a community, even though the institution has the last word in certain types of equipment, must reflect the poverty of Christ. You know, I'm stepping on some Franciscan toes. Well, I hope not, but I don't have to.
But if it's true, something should be done about it. The lifestyle, the appurtenances, the furniture. You know what I'm talking about. Because we cannot talk with, we're out of two sides of our mouth. I can give a conference on corporate poverty, but it's the way you people live it out that is either going to witness or not to the people who see you in operation. And sisters, they know, right? They know. Now on the level of individual poverty, on the level of individual poverty, the conditions for authentic evangelical poverty have been spelled out through centuries of the churches living and thinking about the subject, but there's no doubt about it. The first is, it is actual poverty. In other words, the individual must actually not have what, say, others do have. And it's on this level, sisters. Now the difference between, Mr. Hear said, individuals have different needs. Well, that is far less a problem, I think, than the fact that individuals have different wants. And what sin religious want is more than they could ever get if they lived in the world. Isn't that true? So there must be actual poverty. In other words, there must be deprivation, and that's the best word for it. I know there are certain things that I could have that I just don't. Now, this is assuming that needs are satisfied. All of that is assumed. But in today's culture, you know between what are the needs and the potential wants is the difference between a low hill and Mount Everest, created by advertising industry and the media. Secondly, there must be sharing. But notice, sharing in itself does not constitute evangelical poverty. In other words, not a question of sharing wealth. How's that? And thirdly, dependence. Now the degree of it, the extent of it, depends on your lifestyle and your background and all the rest. The sister in charge is viewed and respected as God's representative. We ourselves of the local community endow her with their own God-given authority. It's quotation. I question the second statement and like to have your or the church's statement on this. Deep thanks for getting my statement so closely as associated with the churches. I do try to reflect the church's mind. The sister in charge is viewed and respected as God's representative. Period. Okay. Well, the sister in charge has superintendent connotations, which I don't like. But the second sentence, this is a sister is giving a quotation, you see, and she's asking for my reaction. The members of the local community endow her with their own God-given authority. Is that true? No. No. does not even, and sisters, I trust you will remember this, this is not even true according to Catholic theology, and I would say the faith, about a democratic political society. It is God who invests even elected officials with their authority. Isn't that true?
Yes.
That's why Abraham Lincoln, very wise, he did not say, am I correcting, from the people? You see how important prepositions can be? It's from God. Now the nature of the authority and its limitations in the church, of course, are determined by the church. And for the state are also determined, not necessarily by the church for the state, but by the church for the citizens, so that they will know when, for example, they are being victimized by a totalitarian society, which is exceeding its God-given rights. In the translation of the Holy Father's exhortation regarding the habit to be poor, may we interpret poor as practical, durable, economical? Yes, I think you should. But not only. In other words, it should be practical, I guess more or less durable, and economical. However, being in the context, and of all the context he placed it in, he could have put it into the context of chastity, right? All kinds of places he could have put it. He put it in the context of poverty. It is to witness to poverty. Now, I guess you can tell more easily, I'm sure I cannot tell, how expensive a piece of coffee is. I would know, for example, how expensive sisters, you know, habit is, how much it costs per yard. Though I suppose women can tell almost, can you tell most at a glance how expensive it is? Well, don't you have to kind of feel the cloth, though? Or wash it once? Right? That's going to test its durability. But in terms of poverty, while these are good criteria, it ought to be something that, at a glance, immediately, testifies to poverty. And there, we touch on an area that, well, I have to say this because otherwise I wouldn't be talking the line of the church, that it is a habit. And that, by the way, that word is constantly, all the Latin, always from the very beginning, was habitus. There are these six synonyms, you know, dress, attire, and so on, which the council might have used. They always use the word habitus. That it witnesses to poverty, both of the individual, in a chios not, in used masculine language, dolled up. And by the way, we can tell, because I think maybe women can tell, immediately when a woman is dressed up. Because we know something about women that women don't know about themselves. So I assure you, women know a lot about men that men don't know about men. So that the individual poverty ought to be seen there. In other words, the cut of clothing, the style and all the rest, is just not, you might say, modish. or stylish, and for a woman especially. Now, I'm quoting here because I obviously cannot have the experience, that one of the great sacrifices that a woman religious makes is to give up, well, her desire for, you know, different dress for different occasions. And as my secretary told me, this is at the university when I taught at the State University, well, I asked her, Kathy, I think I've seen you in 4 different dresses in 4 days. And they all look new. She said, yes, they are. Where do you get the money? So I gave her some, well, friendly advice. People recognize this immediately. So the religious habit will show forth that you as individual women have sacrificed what I'm told is a strong desire on the part of a woman to satisfy a deep instinct which she has. Does that make sense? However, secondly, as far as the habit also being uniform, I must say, sisters, it is the mind of the church. And this, then, is a witness to corporate poverty. Because, as anybody knows, if you can have habit from the same cloth for how many sisters are you? Well, whatever your number is, that there is uniformity. Now, this is something which I can't imagine not being on the agenda of your chapter. Am I correct? The church is a kind mother, and during these years of struggle and adjustment, is, as you know, allowing things. But in terms of the church's mind, there be a corporate witness to poverty by sisters wearing the same habit. Discuss the principles of collegiality and subsidiarity. Well, do you think we've about covered them?
Yeah.
I think we have. And, well, sisters, I've gone over my time. Now, you can decide on your own, or I'll just, all I've got to do is get my office and get some prayers in. But, what do you people do for the rest of the day? Pardon me. Well, what time do you eat? What's your...
Please?
Do I get 6? Well, now, I don't want to in any way, you know, impose myself or make anything like that. Why don't you think of some way or that I can be of service, say, after supper, after dinner, okay? What time?
7 o'clock.
Now, you think of, you cook up any way that you think I can be of service and let me know, and I'll be here. I didn't mind to make my reservation until for tomorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary. Pray
for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sisters.